This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay. Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma here on the evening edition. Now, when you think of the advertising industry, what comes to mind? Fast-talking executives, flashy parties, glitz and glamour? Is that what it's really like to belong to this exclusive fraternity, or is there more than meets the eye? Now, in December of last year, Meeta Dhirom collapsed, slipped into a coma and passed away. She was 27 years old. Cause of death, exhaustion and excessive consumption of energy drinks. A few months before that, in ONM Beijing, Gabriel Lee collapsed and died while working in his office of a heart attack due to overworking. He was 24 years old. So tonight, on the evening edition, we explore the darker side of the advertising world. With us, we have our guests. They are Geets Harris, who is a freelance creative consultant. She's had 20 years of experience in the industry, and also Mr. Hobbs. We're calling him Mr. Hobbs because he wants to remain anonymous. He, however, is a freelance creative consultant as well, 24 years experience, and he has worked in Vietnam, Jakarta, as well as working in Malaysia, where he currently is. Welcome. Very nice to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Hi.
Right. So to begin, let's get an overview of the industry. I guess a lot of people may not know that. How big is the advertising industry in Malaysia?
I don't know. I really wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Well,
but
okay, how does it compare, I guess, with Singapore, with Myanmar, with Cambodia, with Jakarta?
I would say that it's a growing industry. I will not be able to give you exact figures of how many agencies there are or how many, you know, people make up the industry. But what I can tell you is there are a lot of small shops that are opening up. You know, a lot of senior people in the industry are opening up their own shops. Mm-hmm. So I think it's mushrooming. So I'm guessing 100 hubs?
100 what?
Agencies?
Possibly, big and small,
yeah.
Combined.
How is it perceived around the region and when we talk about quality of the advertising industry here in Malaysia?
I think Malaysia is doing quite well. In terms of creative work, we are finding our voice and I would say quite a force to be reckoned with in Asia Pacific, or actually around the world as well.
Right. So yeah. Well, you said roughly imagine 100 big and small. I mean, that seems like quite a large number. Is there enough work to go around in Malaysia, or are they now thinking about catering for the region?
Well, there is quite a fair amount of work. I mean, if you think about, don't think about just the multinational conglomerates and stuff like that. There's still a lot of local clients. There's all types of work to be done, from below the line work to digital work to just someone needs some logo designed, right? I guess it depends on what the agency is adept at providing, perhaps.
Do we have a specialty here in Malaysia, as in the type of advertising used?
No, I don't think we have any kind of speciality. Mm. But the thing is, I think what ad executives are good at is creating work. You know, so even if there is a client who's willing
like
to spend money,
yes.
Yeah, they know how to pitch to the client, mm-hmm. You know, and tell them where they should be spending money when they are currently not, or at that point of time, they're not spending.
That's the kind of honesty we want.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. What about the work culture when it comes to, I guess, a newbie joining the advertising world? Does Malaysia have a different work culture, or is advertising, regardless of whether you're in London or Jakarta or Kuala Lumpur?
Okay. Well, ad agencies, I think the world over, the culture is not very different one from the other. But we are all expected to work the long hours. It's not a written requirement, but it's definitely something that it's been understood, right, for decades. And if you want to, well, you better be prepared, like, you know, if you want to dedicate your life to your craft, you know, you are expected to work those long hours. Mm-hmm.
Well, because to me, I mean, we both are from the creative side, and you can't really say how long the process takes. Sometimes you crack the idea immediately, and then you can flesh it out to all the stuff, right? Sometimes you have no ideas for 3-4 days. So it's hard to say. It's an ongoing process.
Does the work culture differ from big to small agencies, or is it pretty much the same?
Pretty much the same.
The creative process. Yeah.
Pretty much the same. Of course, there are varying levels of quality.
Yeah.
Right. Some people or some it depends really what you're used to outputting.
Mm. Now the both of you are listed as I guess freelance consultants. Were you always freelance, or did you make a conscious decision to leave the shackles of a big company?
Yes, we've broken the shackles.
So and why is that? Is that just because you get more time to relax? Is it less stress?
Because I think as you grow older, money is not your key motivator anymore. I will not lie, I will say that people in the advertising industry do get paid fairly well. But when you grow and then your goals change, your objectives in life change, money is not a key motivator anymore, and you just want that work balance. You know, you want to settle down. I've always joked with my friends and said marriage was always a retirement option. But then, but then it was not, you know. But good for me. But I think if you guys watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that really romanticizes the lifestyle to me. The executive. No, but so executives work late into the night, and then you have a liquor bottle with you and your cigarette and a desk lamp to keep you company. That's the typical life of every person in the industry.
So it's not
healthiest option.
Hookers and blow and getting drunk at 2 PM.
You're in the wrong industry.
I know. We're talking about the darker side of advertising, if you will, following the much publicized deaths of two very, very young advertising executives and copywriters. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what it's like for a young person in advertising. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Evening Edition on BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're listening to The Evening Edition with Caroline and Uma. And today on the show, we are exploring the other side of advertising, the darker side of advertising.
I love the voice that you use.
Well, you know,
with the dark face.
The darker side of advertising.
It is following, you know, two very high profile and highly publicized deaths in the advertising field, very close to home as well. One of them just took place in Jakarta last year, 27 years old and 24 year old in Beijing, from overwork and exhaustion, right? And that's quite tragic. So we've got with us Geets Harris, who's a freelance creative consultant with 20 years of experience in the industry. We've also got Mr. Hobbs, 24 years experience in the industry, also a freelance creative consultant with experience across Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Jakarta, Malaysia, Cambodia. We want to ask you what it's like being a young person coming into the field. Think back 2 decades ago.
Oh, Uma, that is so rude. Back 2 decades and smack him.
What was it like for you?
Memory.
What was it
so
like?
We hear about these people getting overworked. Now, what is it like when you first start off? Say you're 22 years old and you're joining a big firm.
Well, I guess it was exciting, you know. You're in a big agency. Everyone looks trendy. There's all types of characters there. I mean, compared to, 20 years ago when you came out, people expected to be like, nothing wrong with that, but expected to be like accountants, doctors, lawyers. Advertising line seemed quite free and in some ways quite wild. And you saw a few interesting things that went on. And
A few.
What was the working culture like then? Was it pretty much the same as what you described a little earlier?
Pretty much. But again, I suppose with everything getting a bit more professional and people watching the bottom line a lot more, there's a lot less wastage now.
Right.
Whereas before, there were times where, it was common practice to rent out a penthouse suite and hold your brainstorms there for like 3 days.
Good old days indeed.
Wow.
Sometimes it got a bit excessive. Sometimes so it helped the creative process.
So now you don't get the penthouse, is that right? Trimmed the fat.
So it was a little bit like Mad Men. Just a little.
I mean, yes.
A little.
Those were the glory days.
And of course, there was the, I guess the added glory of, you know, mixing with clients like Coca-Cola. And, you know, I guess you get all these big name clients as well, which is exciting in itself.
In a way. But again, I mean, at the end of the day, you meet with the marketing people and you really just get down to getting the job done. So while it does sound glamorous, it's all work. I mean, people say, wow, you're going for another TV shoot? You're not sitting around doing nothing. Sometimes you are, but really you are working, right? So, like even event companies and all, wow, you know, you're holding an opening for, let's say, Uniqlo and all that stuff. You must be like rubbing shoulders with stars and all the cool people there. But actually, you're the door person.
But right. And speaking of work, and speaking of that culture, I guess, of overwork,
mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of people in the industry must wear it like a badge of honor. I mean, I've met, I guess, heads of creative companies, and, yep. you know, they're working at 11 at midnight. They barely see their families, but they wear it with pride.
Yeah, I mean, advertising, that's what I'm expected to do. This is me, yeah.
Is that still true? I mean, does that hold true?
Honestly, for me, yeah. When I read about this thing, first thing that came into my mind was, heh, weak.
Well, you know, I think a lot of your colleagues in the industry would probably think that knee-jerk as well, right?
Yeah, I mean...
So where does that come from, do you think? I mean...
Well, a lot of us have done the hours. And in this industry, it's... Well, I feel that... again, it takes... Sometimes it takes a long time for an idea to pop out and then to flesh it out to the rest of the items. The deadline doesn't move, all right? 3 days to presentation time, you still haven't done the work or haven't gotten all of it out. The job is to get it out. So either you do your hardest to get everything out. And it kind of becomes, I wouldn't say it becomes the norm, but that's just how it is.
But, you know, Hobbs saying that, right? You see, the thing is, I think in the industry, I think those who work the longest hours are deemed to be the most committed.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that proves your mettle and, you're exactly, good for that proves promotion.
Yeah. So, but sometimes it's just simply working inefficiently. I think we had a chat about this very briefly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when that happens, you see, and most creative agencies, I would say they are client service organizations.
Yeah.
Which really is what it is, you're charging the client by the hour. So something, you know, so management is not going to be, have any qualms about charging the client 10 hours of man hours for something that it could have been done in two.
Right.
You know, but having said that, the clients are also sometimes... notorious for making last minute changes, you know. So while yes, you know, sometimes it is expected, people in advertising, whether creative or servicing, and they feel that it's expected of them to put the long hours in being in the industry, sometimes I just think it's inefficient.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of impact does this overworking actually have on the quality of creativity, in your opinion?
After a certain point, nothing comes up.
Yeah.
Nothing comes up.
The creative juices just stop flowing and, you know, you're brain dead and
of course,
it's time to recharge.
Sleep affects your body.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
You know, and I think that is true of any industry, not just advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just need the rest.
Right. I mean, and when it comes to the overworking as well, I mean, with regards to what you were saying, that working inefficiently, but how do you gauge that in a creative industry, right? Because obviously... creative types are supposed to be inefficient to a certain extent because you just let you don't know when inspiration is going to strike.
True.
It's not really but like the poster child for efficient.
Correct. Right. I mean, it's not like accounting where you know you key
you know what
numbers,
you have to do, right?
There's a set number of hours. I mean, but because the process is quite free, some people still. I mean, it's easy to slack off, right? You sit down. Let's say. I want to think about, let's say, this brief or this idea. But let's talk about lunch first, right? and you end up talking about food and whatever else, anything but work. And I say, okay, let's get cracking. You know, we've wasted an hour, but it's lunchtime. Let's go for lunch, right? I mean, subconsciously you may be thinking about it, but you're not really getting down to it, right? So yeah, there is a lot of time wasting, and I think a lot of young people, when they come into the industry, they find that, wow, everyone stays late. Okay, I'll stay back a bit, you know, just so that it doesn't look like I'm going home early. And then before long,
it just becomes
your
part
your workmates. Yeah, your workmates become your family, and you hang out in the office. So it's not a case of you know, overworking. Some people just hang out in the office.
Just becomes a part of life.
It becomes a part of life. I mean, okay, let's say I live at home with my folks. I would rather be in a place where everyone accepts me for who I am, that sort of thing, instead of like going home and then my folks may be asking me to do this, do that. I'd rather be out. And hanging out in the office is nice. It's comfortable. There's aircon. There's internet. There's computer to use.
It's way cooler.
Yeah, you know, it's a large space. I can be myself. I mean, if you, in the past, you could smoke in the agencies and all that stuff. And so, you know, you could just be yourself, and it's a cool place to hang out.
That is both a lonely and depressing thought. we are talking about what it's like to work in the advertising industry with Geets Harris and Mr. Hobbs. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after the news. BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh.
And this is the evening edition, and we're talking about advertising, or what it's like to really work in advertising.
You have to stop with the voice.
I don't know, it just seems like it's that kind of topic, you know. This is, you know, our producer Esme came up with the show after the very high profile and highly publicized deaths of two very young advertising copywriters / executives. They were 27 and 24 years old, and they died from overwork mainly. And lots of energy drinks and lack of sleep. We've got Geets Harris and Mr. Hobbs, both freelance creative consultants with over two decades of experience in the industry, telling us what it's all about. We've been talking about the long work hours and wearing overworking like a badge of honor. But tell me, are there any advertising companies at all that go, you know what? Start at 9, finish at 5, go home, spend time with your family.
Yeah, I suppose advertising agencies that try to have a more decent work ethic.
No, I don't. like I said, if you know,
why just tell me
it'll apply?
Oh.
No hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, I think most agencies don't want to burn their staffs up, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's nothing much to do, you can leave, you know, even as early as 4 for some people. But
you may never get promoted.
Yes. Well, it doesn't happen often. But again, every agency has a different objective. Some, like, for example, if you're like in the top 15 agencies, those agencies answer to their regional offices, and each agency has a KPI. Right, whether it's winning awards, by winning awards you raise the profile of the agency. And that sort of thing. So every agency, especially in the top 15, all try and kind of like try to win awards. Awards tend to be above and beyond the daily work, right? So you have your daily work, which depending on the account, depending on how fast paced it is, can be very hectic, but at the same time, each creative person is supposed to at least attempt to try and win awards.
Right.
And if one team is exempted from the award game, then, okay, they may be seen as not as ambitious, while the others do awards, right? And so there you get a bit of inconsistency. Is there favoritism towards a certain team? How come they don't get pushed to do awards? How come these guys get it like easy? Some teams get to go home at 6, but I'm still slaving away at 10 o'clock trying to take up like award-winning ideas.
Right. So, but you know, after this happened, these deaths happened, Geets, you came up with a kind of a list of suggestions, right? Like a 11-point plan. Mm-hmm. If you will, and you know, we'll go through the 11 points, but just off the right off the bat, the point number one, no more than 2 hours of overtime each day, for example. But given everything you've said in the last half hour, how feasible is something like that?
We need to qualify that. I think then if you work efficiently for the 8 hours that you're meant to work, right? And for, you know, if you take a break, a couple of breaks in between, then yes, I would say no more than 2 hours of overtime every day. But then if you come in late, you meander in about 10:30 and 11, which is very common, and you take a 2-hour lunch, mm-hmm. and
really only start work at 4 o'clock,
and really start work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then an hour later you're on some kind of social network for a bit more time, then of course the 2 hours doesn't apply.
But it really, I mean, these things seem to me not to be unique to the advertising industry, but you know, you can have that anywhere. It's just inefficient management of timing and staff. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier in the segment, when people are actually rewarded for the number of hours that they clock in rather than they, you know, the quality of the work.
Right. Well, no, that's fair enough. I understand. But I think that, you know, that's a general rule, could apply to any industry, right? Because we have that a lot in Malaysia. You know, you come in at 9, tea break at 10, you know, pre-lunch break at 12, then lunch break at 1, you know. It happens, right?
Smoking break.
But then what about the point you make about no short deadlines to meet? Because obviously, you know, I've dealt with, I guess, creative agencies and even clients in the past, and it's crazy. Clients will come up to you and go, I need this in a week.
Right.
And you want their business, right?
Sure, because I think, yes, the agencies are definitely on their knees, you know, revenue-wise, right? Okay, so the agency is willing to tell the client anything, right, to either retain a client or to win a piece of business.
Because, of course, if they
it's
don't...
It's called showing initiative.
Well, because if they don't, of course, the client will be like, you know what, there's another agency who will serve.
Exactly.
Because everybody's, you know, cutting costs, lowering their overheads one way or another. Before, we used to work in pairs, a copywriter to an art director, but now we're all doubling and tripling up and all that. But we're still charging the client by man hours. When it comes to short deadlines, I think this is where management and I think really servicing need to help us. You know, if it's a big campaign, before, I think when we started off, we had the luxury of producing a complete campaign in 2 weeks, almost, and now, you know, 3 days is a luxury.
Wow.
Almost to some agencies.
Yeah, I mean, it again depends on which category. FMCG is very fast.
Right.
There's certain
telco industries as well. You have to be.
You know, one of your points here, don't pressure creative servicing to perform on demand. Now, how feasible is this given, I mean, it does come down to the bottom line, whether we like it or not. You know, staff need to be paid. You need to, the money rules the world, really. So how feasible is it, and how do you reconcile?
You see, again, creativity is very subjective, right? And some clients have already been exposed to, you know, especially the ones who have been involved with advertising agencies. So when they have that little bit know-how, it's come down. Now, the clients seem to dictate what they want. But being in the industry, we still want to push that creative pencil a little bit further. We want to... come up with, you know,
let's not lose that creative process, right?
Exactly.
Because if you knew what you want, then why come to us?
Exactly. But they too have, you know, certain protocols to follow. They have to go, some of them have to go to an agency, you know, they can't hire in-house talent. So because of that process, the turnaround time, I think, gets shortened because, you know, the client already seems to know what they want.
Sometimes.
I'm reminded. All of this kind of reminds me of that just famous Jerry Maguire memo, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he goes, you know, we can be a sports agent, but I can be ethical at the same time, and everyone kind of laughs him out of the room, right? But no, I want to ask you, out of the 11, what is non-negotiable out of the 11? What do you think is just for the industry to thrive, for the industry to not destroy itself and the people working for it, what of the 11 do you think is non-negotiable? They have to implement this. Is it the working hours? Is it the work options? Is it the fact that your employees are your biggest investment?
It is, but I think it's everything. I can't really say which one is the most important, but I think if we were to head down almost a better path, you know, if we were to want change, I think first things first is I think management has to take a stand. They really need a very clear vision and a very single-minded one and communicate that to their employees first and foremost. So if you want to be a creative-led agency, and I think most agencies before were creative-led, you know, then yes, you're a creative-led agency. You're not worried so much about your bottom line because you have a very strong plan in place, right? But if you are a servicing-led agency, then you're going to push, you know, the man hours because that's how you're going to bill your clients. So management for me really needs to make a stand.
Is it not possible to have a little bit of both, also that it's sustainable as well as creative?
For me, I mean, I'm a traditionalist, so I think single-minded propositions is what we always say. I think always seems to work.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Hobbs, I mean, whose responsibility is it? Is it just solely on management, or can there be pressure from, I guess, the employees, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, for example, I've worked in some countries where you couldn't get the staff to work past 7 p.m., right? So, as a foreigner or an expat coming in, used to, you don't stop until the job gets done, that was a shock to me. Right? It was like, whoa.
Go home? Off?
Yeah, what's going on? The thing is tomorrow. Yeah, we'll come in to finish it tomorrow. I'm like, but we're not even 40% done. Right? So, you start to learn how to manage that, and you work around it, then you realize, hey, I can get a life, you know. You know, by leaving at 7 o'clock and then you come in at, let's say, 9, 9.30, 10.
It can be done.
It can be done. I mean, in those countries that I work where they left at 7, they refuse to come in on weekends, even if you give them ample notice. You then learn how to manage that because it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Right? If you want it done, you do it yourself. But if you need the team, then you better learn how to manage that team and work within those hours. Because those guys don't really fool around either. They come in at 8.30, they leave at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
The latest 7.30 because they have families, they want to spend time with their kids or whatever.
As people do here.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, but here you get lost in that and then people escape by running away to the office because they don't want to face things at home. Yeah, I don't know, you know, who knows. But over there...
Wow, Hobbs, you're just full of lonely and depressing thoughts tonight, aren't you?
He's a slightly jaded.
Escape their homes.
That's right.
Who knows? I mean, I know people like that, right? So it's that you, when you learn how to manage that, then you realize, hey, you know, life could be a lot better. You find time to do things, and then you go... Yeah, don't be stuck in the office anymore.
And I think that's the key, right? It's tasting the good life, and they go, oh wait, you know what? There's more to life than just this. But Geets, when you proposed this, what was the reaction? Did you get a Jerry Maguire like reaction where people just went, oh, that's nice?
Oh,
but
I wish
no.
People, yeah, smiled and tapped me on the back. But no, I had quite a fair bit of backlash because. Friends in the industry told me, you know, but in this industry, you need to push yourself. And if you're not going to push yourself far, you're not going to get anywhere. And I'm talking about being pushed to the point of not being able to be pushed anymore. And yeah, some even told me that they were ridiculous, that they were unachievable. But I still feel that change must happen, you know, that change is possible. Because when I started off, I was afraid to tell my boss, my ECD, no. So I would do the long hours. But then eventually, as I grew as a creative, and as I worked more years in the industry, it came to a point where I was able to negotiate. And I think it's only when you're thrown into... a life-changing situation, like, you know, getting married or, you know, being a mother, would you then realize that you need to make that change?
So ultimately, what do you think it'll take? Do you think it'll take sort of mass movement, a lot of people to go through life-changing moments before this will happen? Or will, you know, just one individual make a difference, one individual at a time?
It might take a long time.
It will definitely take a long time. But, you know, hopefully through, you know, the letter, I think a lot of people spoke about the letter. Even here, being on air with you guys, hopefully a few people listen about it and start talking about it. And even on social networks, you know, whatever it takes. But I really think that there is a need for this change. I mean, it's ridiculous in any industry to be working that many crazy hours for the people you hang out with to be only your friends, you know, those confined to within the four walls of or your little cubicle space. Or, you know, you need something more than that. You need to, okay, they always say, you know, good advertising cultures or agencies would attract the best creative, you know. So you need to almost inculcate that fun, happy, collaborative culture, you know, within your office space in order to attract these type of talent. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to come up with good ideas.
Yeah, next weekend, advertising executives are going to have a rally in Dataran Merdeka.
But they'll do it creatively.
You know, but they'll do it in a creative, colorful manner. But, you know, call me old-fashioned, but I think, you know, unless you're a brain surgeon, you probably don't need to do 16-hour days. But, yeah.
No.
So
you're old-fashioned.
But I think, that's the mindset right now. People think that it is expected of them.
Yeah.
That the moment that you're in advertising, you just this need just to do the long hours.
Labor it's laws be damned. This is just
exactly
what I need to do, right?
Exactly.
If not, I'll never go. Yeah, it's you know, it's been eye-opening. Thank you very much, Geets Harris, Mr. Hobbs. We've been talking about the darker side of advertising.
We're back to that, are we?
Here on the Evening Edition. Thanks again. You're listening to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.